Let's continue. Philippians chapter 2. And it says, Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 12, says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the invitation to be in your presence. We thank you so much for the ministries that have been presented. Father, we thank you that all the unique ways in which you reach out to those who are yearning for you. So Father, right now, we are yearning for you. We desire an encounter with you. Father, make your presence known. Speak to our hearts. We are looking to be what you have designed us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is God's Design in HD. God's Design in HD. In the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, we are introduced to a character by the name of Gideon. Gideon is living during a time when the Israelites are enslaved, in bondage. They are bullied around by a group from Midian. They are called the Midianites. And Gideon at the time is hiding out from the Midianites because all they do is steal and plunder and push and bulldoze. And so Gideon is hiding out as he's about his business. And the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord appears before Gideon, and as he appears before Gideon, he announces to him, "Brave and mighty warrior, God is with you." Now Gideon, who at this time is hiding out, looks this angel of the Lord right in the eyes and says, "How can you call me brave and mighty?" The angel says, "Go with all your great strength and you will defeat the Midianite army as if they were one person." And Gideon has to correct this angel of the Lord. He says, "Listen, don't you know who I am?" He says that my tribe is the least tribe in all of Israel, and my clan is the least among the tribe, and my family the least within my clan, and I am the least within my family. In other words, in all of Israel, I am absolutely the wrong person you want to send to deliver your people out of the hand of Midian. I am least. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. I am the last person picked at recess to be on the kickball team. So you don't want me. Don't you know who I am?" And the angel of the Lord says, "Gideon, I do. I've called you brave and mighty. I said, go with all your great strength because I am sending you." The Lord says, "I am sending you. Am I not with you? I am going with you. I am working through you. I will walk alongside with you. I will go into the battle with you. Go with all your great strength, brave and mighty warrior." Now, I'm going to be honest with you. My man is hiding. Aware of his limitations. If he were to view himself or define himself through the eyes of his family members and his schoolmates and his employers and his neighbors, he would consider himself, as he's already expressed, the least. But God sees it differently. In fact, psychology calls it the Pygmalion effect. The Pygmalion effect is simply this. It's a person who places upon you expectations, affirms you with your gifts, expectations that are far, far more reaching and more exceeding than your own expectations. A teacher that will pull a student aside and say, "You know what? I know you're going to get straight A's in this English course. And that student says, really? I'm going to get straight A's? You're going to get straight A's. No one's ever told me that. I know you're going to do it. You're going to be the best student I have. Psychologists will tell you that when this type of affirmation is placed upon a person, that they want to live up to those expectations. You've experienced it before in your life. You know, you have that one family member that always treated you good when you were growing up. They didn't know about the stuff you did at school. And when you were around that family member, when you were around that favorite auntie, you acted like an angel. That's the way she saw you. That's what she always said you were. You're my little angel. You never do anything wrong. And when you were around that little auntie, you never did anything wrong. Yes, auntie, what would you like me to do? I'm already reading my Sabbath school lesson. Already reading it. Because the expectations that were placed upon you, it happens. And although you might say, but past that psychology, you want to deal with it, understand that God is the one that created the mind, and he understands how it works, and God sees within us what we don't see within ourselves, and there was something special about Gideon, even though Gideon wanted to have nothing to do with God's plan. He says, I'm nobody. Even when God says, I'm behind you, he says, well, show me a sign. Show me a sign. You remember the story very well. Show me a sign. Show me a sign. At the end of the day, Gideon finally gives in to God's proclamation. He says, Lord, you said it. I believe it. I finally have come around. And Gideon, with 300 men, take out an army that they could not number. That pastor, Mark Woodson, preached this a few weeks ago. He says that God proclaims you to be holy before you're even holy. In fact, the only thing that sets you apart and makes you holy is God's own proclamation. God calls you holy. He calls you perfect and then works within you to make sure that you realize what he said you were from the beginning. Some like to call it self-fulfilling prophecy, but I like it with the positive spin on it. God prophesying, saying what you are before you arrive there, and it has a way of impacting us. Some of y'all know Sarah Palin, right? And if you don't, where have you been? Sarah Palin, who used to play basketball in Alaska, and, you know, used to be on some council at school and blah, 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 one day thought it was attainable to be the mayor of Wasilla. Wasilla had like two people in it, but you know what? But it was attainable. Now you might look at her and say, oh, that woman doesn't know much because we saw this interview and that interview. But let me tell you something. She was a bother of Wasilla. She took down people didn't think she could take down, and began to make changes. And then somehow it got in her head that she could possibly be more than just a mayor. And then she decided she was going to run for governor of Alaska. And if you had a chance to watch some of her debates, she was polished. She took down those men. Boy, I mean, she was shooting back at them, answering every question, no stuttering at all. It was Sarah in a way you've never seen her before. But then someone had the bright idea of saying, why don't you run for vice president? Sarah wasn't ready for that. All she had her eyes set on was being governor of Alaska. She didn't have to know anything about Russia, except that she could see it from her bedroom window. That was it. But let me tell you something. Once it entered her mind that she could be more than just a governor and more than just a vice president, don't get it twisted. My girl left the governor position in Alaska for a reason. Somebody put it in her head that it could be possible in 2012 that she could actually run for president of the United States. And let me tell you something. Sarah's going to know a whole lot more come 2012. You know why?
Although she won't tell you she's gonna run in 2012, she might not. Let's say she's gonna do it in 2016. Let me tell you something. She's beginning to absorb things she never absorbed before because of what people are beginning to project on her in her life and the trajectory of where she's going. There's something that changes. Let me tell you something. If someone tells you that you are going to be one of three candidates for the presidency of the United States, let me tell you something. You're gonna start watching a little bit of more CNN and less Ben 10. Hello? You can't help it. Somebody has told you where your life is heading, and you're gonna start acting a little different, walking a little different, studying a little different. Let me tell you something. You won't be saying, oh, I can see Russia from my map in the classroom. No! You'll be saying, Mom, Dad, can we take a vacation to a different country? I want to learn more. Someone has prophesied about my life. I'm going to be somebody someday, and I'm going to be prepared when that moment comes. I want to make sure I know all that I need to know. It's not that Sarah Palin, as they project in the media, is not as smart or bright as some of the candidates, because she's a bright person. But when expectations are placed upon us, and we know that certain things are attainable, family, something happens within our life. Gideon, the one who was hiding out on the threshing floor from the Midianites, would one day be revered as the great judge, a great leader, one who was considered a superhero in the Old Testament, one who was the least in many people's eyes, but became the greatest because he decided he would trust what God said about his life. God proclaiming us holy, God calling us great, God setting us apart, God telling us that we're destined to become stars among the universe. Go with me to Zechariah chapter 3. We talked about this last week. Zechariah chapter 3. Pastor Garcia shared with us that this priest in Zechariah's vision was caught with dirty clothes. Now this wasn't any kind of dirt. Alright? In fact, Pastor Garcia grossed us out a little bit talking about the word that was used to really describe how filthy this stuff was. Excrement all over his clothes. I mean, he was like he was caught in the very act, similar to the woman in John chapter 8, caught in adultery. And so here in Zechariah chapter 3, this is page 919 in some of the Bibles in the pews. It says that Satan is there standing before the angel of the Lord, standing at the right side to accuse him in verse 1. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, the Lord who has chosen who? Jerusalem, rebuke you. I called this person out. He says to him, is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Now verse 3. Now Joshua, who was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you. Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. And so they put a clean turban on his head, and they clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. You know, growing up, I could not stand hand-me-down clothes. Now I love the first day of school. And the only reason why I love the first day of school is because I had an opportunity to wear my shiny new clothes. On to Mervyn's back to school sale, Grandma would hook us up, and I would look good in my tough skin jeans. Y'all know my tough skin. That's old school. That's way back. Remember the kangaroo shoes with the zipper? Y'all don't know about that. My little pants up, making sure my robe was all clean. That's how I would roll. What up? Don't hate. And I would go to school and I would just feel so great. And it was really like a fashion show the first day of school. And you were checking everybody out, looking at their clothes. You can't hang with this Kmart stuff. Don't try to rock it like that. I'm trying to go there. And back in the day, you couldn't even shop at Macy's. It was like one Macy's in all of America, right? That was, now Macy's is everywhere. But that back then, you used to give it, it was Kmart, it was Mervyn's. If that was all the stores, even a little bit of Sears, throw a little Sears in there. But check this out. There were a couple couple of years that we didn't have as much money for back to school shopping. And so I would get the hand-me-down clothes from my brother who was 4 years older than me. Because brother who was 4 years older than me was also 4 years bigger than me. So, you know, I was rocking the biggie bad jeans before it was even in fashion. My jeans were sagging and baggy, and I was rocking them at school like, what? And it was a little bit embarrassing because everyone knew it just didn't fit right, it didn't look right, and they were paying attention. They were like, did your brother Bobby wear that last year? Making me look bad! But the great thing about it is, family, is we talk about justification. It's God declaring us holy. It's God who says you're innocent, even though we really are guilty. It's God who justifies. It has nothing to do with us. But when it comes to the sanctification part, the part we're being remade, where he's working within us, where he's providing us with new clothes, this stuff is hand-me-down stuff, but this stuff comes from Jesus. This stuff comes from our God. He hands it down from Christ to us, and when we put on those shiny new clothes, we're a new person. We're a new creature. We get to walk with a little bit more confidence. We sweat ourselves in a way that even the universe has to stand back. Check this out. Even the angel standing there says, listen, if you walk in the ways of the Lord, if you continue to follow his commandments, you'll be able to walk along with us. You'll be able to hang out with us. You'll be one of the angels. You'll be one of the stars. I don't mind wearing Jesus' hand-me-downs. I'll wear that robe of righteousness. I'll wear that crown. I didn't pay for it. He got it on his own special. He paid for it. But I will rock that thing when I get to the kingdom. I'll say, look at my new friends. And Abraham will say, well, look at mine. Well, mine are better than yours. Maybe the same material, okay? They came from the same threads. I can't wait to that day. So family, there's something about it. Our understanding of what God does justifying us, setting us free, God declaring us innocent, and this part of him giving us new clothes, that was a little bit of a disconnect. For some reason, when God begins to put on new clothes for us, a lot of us want to reject it. We don't like this part of, as Paul says in Philippians 2, becoming blameless. Being perfect, being blameless, being righteous. Pastor, legalism. I don't want that stuff. God accepts me just the way I am. I'm going to leave it just like that. But you missed the point. Back in the day when HD was just coming into vogue, I was at one of the TV stores down in Southern California called Mr. TV Video. And I remember walking in and I wanted to get a big screen TV, you know? I had just accepted a call to be one of the pastors of the Campus Hill Church in Loma Linda. And I just figured instead of buying a new Bible, I should buy a new TV. So I'm at Mr. TV Video, and they begin to show some display models on the floor. Now, these pictures are so crisp, so clean, I am just drooling and salivating. I'm like, wow, this TV produces this kind of picture? They're like, of course, yes. How much does it cost?
$2,700.
Oh, I can't afford that. We have a special financing plan. No money down, no interest. I'm like, and all I have to do is just say yes, and I get it, and it's free for just a year, sir. Then at the end of the year, you have to pay. Well, that's fine. I'll take it. I was sold. I went back home. I unpacked that TV. I began to connect it to the cable. I turned it on, and for some reason, the picture didn't look as good as it did in the store. I was looking at it and I was like, man, it looks like Vaseline was smeared all over the screen. Everything's so blurry. Because see, the one thing that the salesman didn't tell me is in order signal, that standard definition signal. So if it didn't look good on your regular television, it's going to look worse on your HD one. I was like, I felt like I was duped. How could you do that? But family, it's the same way when it comes to justification and sanctification. You see, it's nice to be able to have the set. It's nice to be able to be given the television set for free. It's nice to be able to be justified. But if you don't have the HD signal, it's all for naught. Who cares if you're justified if you don't get to be perfect one day? What's the point? There is no point. I want to be saved. Saved for what? I want to live forever. With your crazy self? Yes, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you so much, too much, to leave you just the way that you are. It's about having that HD signal as well. So God says, great, good, I hooked you up with the free set. Oh, thank you, Lord. I couldn't afford it. I know you couldn't. But now, let me give you the signal. I need to work something within your innards. I need to do something with inside of you to be able to unlock your fullest potential. You are more than what you are right now. There's something greater inside of you. Allow me to live in you. As Ezekiel 36:25 says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. Turn there right now. Ezekiel 36:25. I will sprinkle clean water on you. That's the justification part. That's God cleansing us. God setting us apart, making us holy. But then listen to what God says. I will give you a new heart in verse 26. Verse 25 tells us he cleanses us. He washes us clean from anything that has ever defiled us. But when we get to verse 26, what does God begin to do? He begins to give us the HD signal. I love this. Verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Somebody say amen. God says, I want to give you an HD signal. I don't want you just to have the gear and the equipment. I want to hook you with a little bit more. I'm not only going to give you the signal, man, I'm going to throw in surround sound with it. You mind if I do that? I'm going to throw a Blu-ray player in there as well. I'm going to hook it up. New spirit, new heart, new mind. I love the way that Jeremiah puts it in Jeremiah 31. Turn there, Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Jeremiah 31, starting with verse 31. The word of God says, you gotta run with me. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Giving you a new signal, a new TV, a new lease on life. It will not be like the old covenant, like the old TV I made with your forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because you broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Verse 33, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their what? Minds, and write it on their what? Hearts. I will be their God and they will be my what? People. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. God says, I'm gonna write it in their hearts and in their minds. It's gonna be a new deal, a new package. It's better than anything that Comcast has. I'm about to hook it up in here. Sanctification is the part that's probably the most fun. Getting to be perfect. When I finally caught on that I needed an HD signal, let me tell you something. I really began to enjoy that television. I tried to find out when are they going to provide those signals? When can I have it? How will I be able to access it? And then I began to watch everything, even commercials look good to me. You know how it is when you first get that HD set? You're watching nature stuff. You've never watched nature stuff before. I was watching sumo wrestling. Everything was just clear. I felt like I could touch everybody. This is the part, family. This is the part that we're given. This is what God wants to bless us with. And family, let me tell you something. It's like, and Pastor Enoch alluded to in his message. It's like if you were given $1 million. You're in debt. You know you have bills to pay, debt you have to pay off, credit card debt, school loans, all that stuff. And someone says, I'm going to hook you up. Give me your account number. Check this out. Since your account's overdrawn, I'm going to set up a new account for you. A new checking account. I take your social security number and you give it to them and you're like, oh, wait, come on, what are you going to do? I'm going to put $1 million in this new account for you. And the person puts that $1 million in your new checking account with your name on it, gives you that ATM check card and says, here you go. All you need to do is transfer money into your old account or however you want to work it. Here is your money. And this person says, you know what? This is a big old joke. I'm being pumped. Where's MTV right now? I'm being fooled. I know. Where are the cameras? Somebody's trying to pull a fast one on me. And the person says, no, it's your card. Here it is. No, I am not. See, if I slide this card, it's going to be a practical joke. Everybody's going to come out of the bush and start laughing at me. Not going to do this to me. Nope. That's too good to be true. I won't believe it. And they leave the card on their kitchen table. And they never access the account. Family, let me ask you a question. Is that person a millionaire? They sure are a millionaire. Uncle Sam thinks they're a millionaire. Are they a millionaire? Yeah. Absolutely. But do they get to live the life of a millionaire? Do they get to enjoy the life of a millionaire? If they don't access the account, they don't get to enjoy it. So God is saying it doesn't make sense for you just to simply have the money in your account, to simply be freed on paper, to be guiltless on paper, to be spotless on paper, and you don't get to live it out in your life. I have called you a millionaire. I put enough in your account. All I need you to do now is live it out. Amen. Live what you've been called to be. Amen. You know, I like new things. How many of you feeling the new carpet in the fellowship hall? And the new paint. Feeling that? Yeah. Oh man, let me tell you something. That's just the beginning. Yeah. As we continue to be faithful as a church, as we continue to give, you're going to see things just radically transform around you. You're going to see stuff that you're going to walk up and be so proud of. Some of you had nothing to do with it. You didn't even know what was going down. You showed up 1 week and it was the same old fellowship hall. You showed up this week and it was like, wow, what you guys do? It's awesome. The stuff that's coming down the pipe right now, I'm so excited about. I love that new paint smell. I love the new carpet smell. I just wanted to bring my bed in and just sleep here. Love that smell. I love the new car smell. How many love the new car smell? Love the new car smell. Love it. Just feel awful. You need to even drive better with the new car smell, don't you? I'm safer with the new car smell. Everything. I don't want anything to touch it. I park better. I don't want anything to breathe on it. It's a new car, and I want to protect it. It's been set apart. It's holy. And I like that feeling. But after driving your car for 5 years, and your smell begins to take over, things are a little different. One time I was at a car wash, and I told him, I said, yeah, give me the words, you know, the rims, the tire, the walls here, you know, vacuum it. And the guy said, well, sir, what kind of scent do you want in the car? He's like, well, you know, we have lavender, moonlight splash. you know the little scents they have, you even know, jasmine. Okay. I don't know what jasmine smells like, okay. We have apple juice, Hugo Manzana, you know. I don't know why I want apple juice. Okay, all right, cool. And then he said the words I wanted to hear. We have a new car scent. New car scent? Yes, sir, we have new car scent. My car will smell new apple. Yes, I want that one. I want the new car smell. Hook it up. So when they were finished with the car, I felt like I had just bought a new car. Not only did it look new, I didn't know it was going to smell new. So I opened that door. I got into my car. I went, what is that? That's new car smell. No. That smells like burnt plastic with a dash of old stale Cheerios. What is that? That smells like death. And what did you put in my car? That's new. They were trying to manufacture something. But I want transformation. That's what I love about sanctification. It is the fun part. It's about making that old car brand new. If someone said, you know what, I can give you that same model and brand new, or I can give you a newer model, it's a little bit better, you'd say, yes, give it to me. I want it. But when it comes to you, take it. It's the HD signal. It's God's original design and purpose for your life. Do you know that you were designed to be perfect? That's your design. When God created you, it was all good. All God is asking you to be is what you're designed to be. Do you know that? He's asking you to simply be an HD television with an HD signal. Standard just won't do. Mediocre just won't do. Can I tell you about one of my parables? Let me close. One of my favorite parables. It's found in the Gospel According to Disney. The parable entitled Lambert the Sheepish Lion. Kids, you're going to love this. Lambert was taken to a flock of sheep mistakenly by the stork because his name was Lambert. And this poor mother ewe, when it was time to receive the little lamb, she had no lamb for herself except for Lambert. When Lambert saw her, he fell in love and she fell in love with him. And the stork said, ma'am, I made a mistake. I need to take him back. She said, okay, all right, okay, you can keep him, your deal. And the stork flew away. Lambert began to grow. He was so cute. He wanted to play with all the other little sheep, but they made fun of him because he just didn't fit in. He tried to be a sheep, but he was a lion. But time went on, and Lambert began to grow, and grow, and grow. Although he was sad when he was a little cub because he wasn't like all the other little lambs, he began to grow and grow and grow into this big, monstrous, king-sized lion. But guess what? He was still the butt of all the jokes. The lambs, the little sheep, they grew up with horns and they began to ram him and pick on him. And poor Lambert, did he get mad? No. Little sheepish grin. You guys got me again. He didn't even know any better. He thought he was just a little lamb. And then one night as the flock was sleeping, Lambert heard a howl in the distance. A hungry, vicious coyote that had caught the scent of the flock. And at this time, Lambert, who was a lion, what did he do? Afraid. Scared. Like all the other sheep. And that coyote came, this coyote came in and it actually went for his mother and began to attack. And what is Lambert doing as the coyote or wolf, whatever, is attacking her mother? What is he doing? Help! Help! Somebody help! Help mama out! I don't know what to do! And the mother kept calling out, Lambert! 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 And finally something snapped within Lambert. There was something that was already in him that God had actually placed in there from the beginning, even though Lambert thought he was just a sheep. There was something else. And as he snapped, a roar came out like the king of the jungle. And when that wolf heard that roar, you want to know what he did? Actually, see what happened was, Lambert took off after that wolf and chased that wolf away. And all of those sheep were so excited, they weren't picking on him anymore. It was Lambert. He's the king. He's the man. Family, let me tell you something. I know that Jesus came to be the lamb that would take away the sins of this world. But the Bible also calls him in Revelation, not just the lamb that was slain, but the lion of Judah. And listen, let me tell you something. God has placed within all of us this same spirit. He tells in John 17, Father, I gave them the same glory that you gave me. I've called them to follow in my footsteps. Father, they're more than what they become. There's something within them that I am igniting. And Father, they're going to do greater things than even I did. They're going to take their rightful place. what they are right now. So family, I know you've been rolling around like you're a little chicken when you're actually an eagle. You've been rolling around like you're just one of the sheep when God has called you to be a lion. God is wanting to reproduce within you His image. Because that's what you were designed to be. The image, the expressed image of God. Family, when you realize what you've been called, when you allow God to work within you what only He can do, wolves can't even stand in your presence. Addictions begin to change. Let me tell you something. I know that Alcoholics Anonymous, they're really big on a person every time that they acknowledge themselves and introduce themselves and say that, hi, I'm Jim, I'm an alcoholic. And it's a way of reminding people of where they come from and maintain a certain humility and all that good stuff. But let me tell you something. God doesn't mind if you forget what you used to be. Somebody help me this morning. God doesn't mind if when your sins are removed as far as the east from the west, that you're not known as a sinner anymore. You can say, hi, my name is Mark. I just happen to be a saint. Not a sinner, but a saint. I just checked out my new clothes, my new threads. I look like, walk like, talk like a king. I must be somebody special. I don't care. God doesn't care if you forget your past. Let me tell you something. When God begins to recreate in you what your original design has always been, let me tell you something. You'll begin to forget what it was like back in the day. You'll have a hard time remembering how hard-headed you used to be. You'll forget who you used to hang out with, who you used to hook up with. You'll probably never remember it the way you used to remember it because things have changed. Old has become new. You're a new creature in Christ. It'll be hard to live with the past. Let God forget that past. He already is. He's focused on the present, the future. He said, you're holy. You're going to be a shining star. You're going to be a prince, a princess. You're a lion. Is there someone here today that wants to say, Pastor, I thank God for the HDTV, but it really is not doing me any good if I don't have the signal. I want the signal. That's where you are. Just have to stand to your feet. You say, Lord, I want the sanctification part. I want the perfection part. I want you to recreate in me. I want that part. That's the part I want. That's the part I want. That's the part I want. Recreate in me. I want to be just like you. I want to be what I was purposed and designed for. That's what I want. If there's someone here that wants to say for the very first time, Pastor, I want to be baptized. I never even knew I had a set. I never knew I had $1 million in the account. This is the first time I've even heard about it. I'm just getting to know Jesus. Listen, you talk to me afterwards. You talk to one of the elders or the pastors that will be at the door as you're exiting. You let us know what your intentions are. His family, we want to see you be lions in the city of Oakland. We are ready to chase out the wolves and bring back the flock. And save them and rescue them and protect them. We are ready to be what God has called us to be, shining stars in the universe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've called us to be. Yet again, Father, yet again, you have challenged us to not just be satisfied with the justification part, but challenge us to embrace the beauty and the fun and the excitement of receiving the HD signal. We want the sanctification part. We want the process of being made holy. We want to go back to our original design and purpose. Father, that can only happen as you come into our hearts. We thank you for the free gift. We thank you for proclaiming us holy and guiltless. But Father, we want more. Give us the Blu-ray player that comes along with it and the surround sound system, Father. We want more out of life. We want more because you've made us to be more. Father, there's something within us that you've created that is begging to come out, that is wanting to be connected to its creator, its life source. Father, we want to tap into it now. We've got a bunch of lamberts here. They've been masquerading as something they're really not. Help us to realize what our original design is and our purpose. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In the loving and precious name of Jesus, let the redeemed say, amen, amen. You may be seated. Amen.
Presence.